Sunra Orchestra at Sullivan Hall, America Theater, Westbury. There's too many to name, so please log on to our online concert billboard at WUSB.FM. If you're a local venue, band, or promoter and you want to get your gigs on the concert billboard, send an email to scene, that's S-C-E-N-E, at WUSB.FM. And as always, thanks for listening to the concert billboard right here on WUSB Stony Brook.
And it's 2 minutes after 6 o'clock. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. It's time once again for Off the Wall. Really, it is. Okay, what did I do wrong this time? All right, my fault. Hang on. It's 6:03 now. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook, and there's the theme for Off the Wall. Thank you. And good evening, everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening. It's supposed to be a fundraising show, but the studios are abandoned, so if we get somebody to answer the phones, we'll start taking pledges. Obviously, I can't take calls while I'm talking. Yeah. But for further notice, I guess, for future reference is what I'm trying to say. The number is 631-632-WUSB. If and when we get people in the tally room, we'll be able to announce some premiums and take some phone calls. But if by chance that doesn't happen tonight, give a call anyway when this show is not on and pledge to keep the station going. And tonight's an abbreviated show. Maybe that's why nobody's here. Because Finn's not going to be on after us. If we have a, what is it today, a lacrosse game? They're going to try something out. Some kind of sport they're going to do at 6:45. So, yeah, it's an abbreviated show this week. Also, next week, another abbreviated show. So, bear that in mind. And if I sound a little flustered, it's because, well, I'm a little flustered. It's been one of those panicky racing around days where you wake up way too late. And, you know, it's when you wake up late, people just assume you're lazy, and that's not the case. It's not the case. You know, I've been working really hard the last couple of weeks, and various nights I'm getting 4 hours of sleep because there's just no other way. You have to do certain things, and then you have to keep doing these things, and before you know it, the clock's gone around in a full circle, and 4 hours is all you can spare. Well, today is the day my body told me to take a hike, and I woke up at 3:30. So, and that's not enough time to really do all the things you need to do. So I was racing around town, doing all kinds of errands and things like that, and just barely made it here. No matter what, though, no matter what, I could leave to get here at 9 in the morning, I'd still barely make it here. Something always gets in the way to keep that from happening. But that's life, I suppose. Well, it's come down to the wire, the whole healthcare thing. It looks like this might be the week, finally, the final push for the final showdown of the final battle. We can finally put this all behind us. You know, it's incredible. Even if I didn't agree with Obama, I'd have to admire his fortitude for sticking with this and just not letting it drop, because it would have been so easy to do that. It would have been so incredibly easy. And think of the consequences if he does let this drop, or if it doesn't get anywhere. It's never going to happen again. Not in our lifetimes, anyway. Do you think the next president is going to say, you know what, I'm going to tackle healthcare reform, because I could see what a cakewalk that was? No, that's not going to happen. It's either now... I don't want to say never, because never's a long time. Now or 2050, maybe. Yeah. And God knows where we're going to be then. So, no. It's got to be now. And, you know, I get into these conversations with people a lot. And the ones that really annoy me, they're not the ones who are dead set opposed to healthcare reform. Because, you know what? You have a day of reckoning with your maker to deal with whatever chain of logic you have. That's fine. You know, it's your way of thinking. I can't change that. You're just a different species, I guess. I don't know. No, I disagree with people, and that's fine. No problem there. It's the people who are for healthcare reform, but this just isn't quite their healthcare reform, so they're against it too. And it's exactly that kind of attitude of my way or the highway, everything at once or nothing at all. That is why we're in the sorry state we're in. That is why. The people I disagree with, I'm always going to disagree with on these issues. And they're not doing anything that is contrary to their beliefs. I just don't happen to agree with them. But the people whom I do agree with, who choose to oppose this kind of a thing because it's not everything, they're the fools. And they're the ones that are responsible for driving us backwards. Because it doesn't matter in the end if you think it doesn't go far enough or you think it goes too far. If you're opposed to it, you're opposed to it. And those are the only numbers that matter. Now, to those people, and to anybody else who I might have a chance of swaying on this particular issue, I have two questions, and these questions come up in every conversation I've ever had about healthcare reform, mostly with people from different countries. Because I ask them these questions, and they always respond with shock that such a thing would even be possible. The question basically is, relating to this, to the reform that's being pushed through, hopefully being pushed through this week, will this healthcare reform prevent anybody from losing their homes because they get sick? And will this healthcare reform prevent anyone from being dropped from their insurance because of a pre-existing condition? No, nothing else. No other questions. I don't want to hear anything else. Just answer me those two things. Will anybody lose their homes because they get sick? And will anybody be dropped from their insurance because they have a quote-unquote pre-existing condition? Now, both of those items are things I bring up every time I talk to somebody overseas about healthcare, and they react with shock that such a thing is even possible. You know, they complain about their healthcare system. Everybody does. People in Canada complain about it, too. But those two issues are unheard of in any civilized country that has some kind of healthcare. Yeah. So if you can answer no to both of those questions, or was it yes? How did I phrase the question? Will this healthcare reform ensure that nobody will lose their home because they get sick, or nobody will lose their insurance because they have a pre-existing condition? And if the answer to that is yes, healthcare will prevent this from happening, healthcare reform will prevent this from happening, then how can you not be for that? Because it might cost you a little more. First of all, I don't know if it is going to cost you anything more. It might cost you less. But you know what? I would pay double what I pay now for that assurance. You might think it's not going to happen to you. You might think it's never going to affect you. But that's a rude awakening that one day you'll be privy to. It affects everybody. Everybody is vulnerable to these things. So ask yourself this, especially those people who are dead set against it, and also those people who think it doesn't go far enough. If these two things are accomplished this year, is that not a significant step? Is that not worth supporting? And I just wish it were framed in this context. With all the discussion, all the talking heads on television going back and forth about this, can we just focus on those two facts? There are all kinds of other things, I know. But those two are just so important, so monumental, such a pivotal moment. Now, if I'm wrong, and for some reason this healthcare reform doesn't do that, then I question whether or not it's healthcare reform at all. But in everything I've heard from its proponents, that's exactly what it's going to do. So please, correct me if I'm wrong. OTW@2600.com. I want to hear if I've got it backwards somehow. But in all the analysis that I've been reading and hearing, it seems like that's exactly what's being pushed. Now, this is the week, as we said, and here's the Associated Press's take on it. With time and tempers short, everyone's playing hardball in the drive to pass or stop President Obama's massive health care legislation by the weekend. Business groups are spending $1 million a day to depict the bill as a job killer in television ads in the home districts of 26 wavering House Democrats. Job killer. Wow. Not even sure how that would work. How would it be a job killer unless your job is completely unnecessary? A new ad barrage from supporters of the legislation went up Tuesday in 11 districts, some overlapping. Unions are threatening some of those lawmakers to come through for Obama or pay the price in the fall elections. Yeah, that's why everybody's so scared, because they're afraid they won't get reelected. You know, if people just did what they felt was right and not think so much about their reelection, maybe they would do the right thing. Maybe they should only serve one term. That way, for sure, they would not be worried about that. Obama has summoned members to the White House one by one for private face-to-face persuasion, and also met larger groups. Diverse administration resources are being employed. Even the Navy Secretary is in the game. We here in Congress are giving a new meaning to March Madness, said Lisa Murkowski, Republican from Alaska. Oh, no, not another one. And, of course, an opponent of the legislation. Because all Republicans are opposed to this. Yeah, all Republicans. And, you know, that's something else that pushes me, is that realization. This is something I say to a lot of people who say it doesn't go far enough. I ask them, look how fervently the right wing in this country is against this. That's got to mean something to you. That's got to mean that there must be something in here that you would like if they hate it so much. But yeah, that's kind of irrelevant to the two major points I brought up before. Now, at stake is the bill that would cover some 30 million uninsured people, end insurance practices such as denying coverage to those with a pre-existing condition. Ha ha, right there. So I think my question is answered. Require almost all Americans to get coverage by law and try to slow the cost of medical care nationwide. The comprehensive legislation could affect nearly every American, from those undergoing annual checkups to people facing major surgery. Activists on both sides of the political spectrum are energized. Tea Party volunteers, yes, they rallied today in Washington. They're planning to flood congressional offices with emails opposing the legislation as a step towards socialism. And some on the political left have joined in calling for the bill's defeat because it leaves out a federal insurance option. The sought-after Democrats, mainly moderates, but also a few liberals, are mostly trying to stay out of sight. They include 37 who voted against the bill last year, and a smaller number who are having second thoughts after supporting it the first time. Walking briskly, lawmakers duck in and out of the House chamber during votes, avoiding eye contact with reporters. Yeah. Well, you know, there's nothing really clear in here about whether or not someone could lose their home as a result of this insurance reform. So, you know, I guess the first question has been settled, according to the Associated Press anyway. So the second question then, can you ever lose your home with insurance reform? And if that's proven to be the case, that that particular risk to us is forever gone, then I cannot for the life of me understand why people would not be supportive of this. Okay, what is going on in the world other than this? Well, we talked last week about stupidity. We focused on that a bit. Almost took up the whole show, in fact, because it's just so much material. One thing that that I mentioned that I was really kind of upset about was the closing of the smart car dealership here in Suffolk County, being replaced with an SUV/minivan showroom, and just the irony of that. Here's an article that Jim from Off the Hook gave me. Smart USA, like many automakers, did not have a good 2009. But sales of its Smart 4.2 continued to plummet in 2010. That's the little tiny car, the one I've had since 2005, because I got mine from Canada. And everybody comes up to me wanting to know how they can get one. What do I tell them now? There's no dealership anymore. I have to tell them to go to a different state or go all the way into the city or something. Sales of the diminutive coupe fell 40% last year, but were down an astounding 84% in January, when only 278 of the cars were sold. That's nationwide, 278. That's down from 864 in December, and from 1,776 in January of 2009. Company officials say they know what they need to do to get back on track. That includes new marketing strategies. Yeah, you know what, guys? I gotta put the blame for this squarely on your shoulders. You know why? Has anybody out there ever seen an advertisement for a smart car? Because I have not, and I've been looking for them. I don't see newspaper advertisements. I don't see television advertisements. I don't hear about it on the radio. I don't see billboards. I don't see anything. The only advertisements I see for the cars are people driving around in them. And other people jumping in front of them, risking their lives to demand to know where they can get one. That's the only advertising going on. So, yeah, you're wondering why people aren't buying them. It's because they don't really know enough about how to get them. People are surprised when I say, hey, you can buy these in the States. They don't know they can. And, you know, closing your dealerships, that's really not the best way to get people to come and buy them. So, yeah, you know, there is a lot of stupidity going on out there. A lot of people think that because we pay artificially low prices for gas, that we can drive around and waste as much as possible. And those days may end soon, they may end later, but either way, being environmentally conscious is a good thing, and something we should pursue. So, not just this car, but other environmentally sane cars. If you don't mind the accelerator pedals getting stuck occasionally on other models. Yeah, it's kind of crazy out there. But yeah, it's so annoying. It's so annoying to see steps backwards when you had a nice step forward. You know, I was very happy to be driving this thing and then see other people start driving it as well. And it was really starting to pick up. And then something happened. I don't know what exactly. All right, but you know, on the subject of stupidity, nothing tops this. Fortunately, nothing stopped this either. But momentary panic was sparked in Georgia. And for a change, it wasn't our Georgia, it was the other Georgia, the one overseas, used to be part of the Soviet Union. Russia's trying to get it again. Well, that's open to debate as well. Momentary panic was sparked in Georgia after TV broadcast the news that Russian tanks had invaded the capital and the country's president was dead. The National Network report, with echoes of the 2008 war between Russia and Georgia, turned out to be false. However, mobile phone networks were overwhelmed with calls, and many people rushed onto the streets. Amity TV is the name of the network that did this. They said the aim of the report had been to show how events might unfold if the president were killed. Well, gee whiz, how do you think things might unfold? I guess they just had to look out their window to see how things would unfold. So, for a brief moment on Saturday evening, I'm not sure how brief this moment was, many Georgians thought history was repeating itself. In the news report, Amity TV showed archive footage of the war and imagined how opposition figures might seize power after an assassination of the country's president, Mikhail Saakashvili. And although the broadcast was introduced as a simulation of possible events, the warning was lost on many Georgians. Maybe they turned on the TV after the after the notice was given. One local news agency reported that emergency services had received an unusually high volume of calls in the ensuing minutes. And once calm returned, the report was seen by some as a poorly disguised swipe at the Georgian opposition politicians who recently traveled to Moscow to meet Russian Prime Minister Vladimir Putin. The head of the holding company, which owns Amity TV, said the aim was to show the real threat of how events might unfold. And that did not stop dozens of journalists and angry Georgians who gathered outside the studios to protest. One opposition politician who was there labeled the report disgusting. I'm sure many others said similar things, but he was the only one quoted. Yeah, that's something. You know, you think they'd... I can't really be 100%... in condemnation of these folks, because we did something similar here at WUSB with Shadow of Long Island, where we broadcast a real-time radio drama having to do with an accident at a local nuclear power plant and a local unnamed nuclear power plant. But we did have warnings peppered throughout the broadcast, disclaimers, if you will, every 15 minutes or so. And also there was the fact that there was no operating nuclear power plant on Long Island, so you really had to be kind of brain dead to fall for that one. And of course, you know, War of the Worlds, aliens from Mars, yeah, you know, you sort of had to take a leap in logic to believe that. But, yeah, fun in Georgia. Oh, those rednecks. Okay, you know what? I had a crisis, another crisis. I wasn't aware of this crisis until only a few minutes before the show. I was looking for the record, you know, the record we've been featuring almost every week since the beginning of the year. This is the Good Friends Are for Keeps, America Sings of Telephones, 100th year celebration of the Bell System. And, of course, this record is old. It came out in 1976. So we have this 34-year-old record. Wow. That we've been featuring one track of whenever we had the opportunity. Well, I couldn't find the record. And you know why I couldn't find the record? Because I left it at the radio station last week when I didn't play a track. Yeah, and I was worried. I was worried that, you know, I might not be able to find it. But this is WUSB, you know, we take care of each other. And my record was safely put away. And I have it back in my possession. And we're going to play the last track on side one, which is Petula Clark, a song called Call Me. Telephone language evolves continuously. No one knows when call me began to mean contact me by phone, but it is deep in our language now. Our musical Call Me, in a beautiful rendition sung by Petula Clark, thematically echoes Berlin's All Alone. Unrequited lover sits by the phone, waiting and waiting. All right, let's have a listen to some vinyl. You know, that would have been a perfect song to play if we were taking calls. yes. Well, again, the phone number for Radiothon, 631-632-9872. Yeah, this is WUSB in Stony Brook. We're halfway through the record now. We get to, oh, look, the record's still going. You know, at the end of it. You can hear the needle at the end of the side, I guess is what you say. I remember those days, you know. Sometimes we would leave it on for a long, long time before realizing that it was still playing over the air. Sometimes the needle would just skip right across the label, and what a horrible sound that made. Oh, I miss the days of vinyl. And it does sound better. I don't know why. Even though it's legally not as good, it does sound better somehow. It's hard to explain. And it sure looks better. And you can do more with it, too. And while I was playing, I was thinking more about the whole healthcare thing, because I just constantly keep thinking about it. And also thinking about people I know overseas, or I have these conversations with, a lot of Europeans that I hang out with become somewhat, obsessed with American customs, the American way of life, everything from American pop music, perhaps to mass culture, TV programs, Hollywood movies, firearms, large cars, automatic transmission, things like that. You know, they become focused on all of this. And sometimes they dive into it. Large refrigerators, jumbo size, you know, basically the things that this country is known for. I know a lot of Europeans who embrace this. And, you know, it's okay. It's all right. Because no matter what, I don't think there is a single one of them over there, no matter how much they embrace various aspects of our way of life or various freedoms that we cling to or philosophies that we espouse, I don't think there's a single one of them that would let go of their health care, that would say, you know what, our system sucks, let's do it the way the Americans do it. I don't, if I know anybody like that, please let me know. Tell me, wake me up. But I think that says something, that you can have those values. You can believe in things that maybe I don't believe in, maybe other people don't believe in. Maybe there's all kinds of reasons why we'd say that's wasteful or that's not the best way to do things, but you can do that. But still hold on to something that just makes sense. And that's worth thinking about. If it really was so bad, as the Republicans are trying to have us believe, then there should be lots of people over there who are complaining bitterly and warning us. But I don't see it. Don't see it at all. All right. Let's read some listener mail, because that's always fun to do. It really is. And this is actually very interesting, because this person wrote in concerning our other program. No, not Off the Hook. The other program. Yes, he didn't know there were three programs. This program actually is special because it's a rebroadcast. It's The Voice of Long Island, and right now it's from 1982. And what we're doing is every Friday night at midnight, we're sticking the episode that aired exactly 28 years ago to the day. Same date and everything. We're sticking it up online. And wouldn't it be cool if we played it over the air as well? But that would probably be too confusing. Hear about President Reagan and the beginning of the 1980s and things like that. But we're sticking it up online at as high quality as we can possibly do, because it's taken off a cassette, and it does sound pretty good, actually. And people are listening. More people are listening now than ever listened before to this three-hour program filled with music and talk and phone calls and things like that. And there were just such profound differences in the way society worked back then, and the way things sound. And it's just fascinating to listen to. What I do is, every week, I just download it. As it becomes available, I download it myself, and I play it as I drive around. And it's really cool to listen to. You never know what's going to happen next. And in fact, this week, the one that just was put up last Friday night, is particularly significant, because we have this mock serial known as the Tripod Family that aired back then. What we did was, on another radio show that we did back in the 90s called Brain Damage, we started to re-air those episodes But we stopped after a certain point. And the point that we stopped at was last week, insofar as what we're airing right now. So if you start listening to The Voice of Long Island now, you'll hear episodes of The Tripod Family that have not aired since 1982 and have never been available online anywhere. So, yeah, history there. And I'm sure about three people care about that because, well, it was an amateurish production done by some college people back in the day. But still, it was fun, and it brings back a lot of memories, and hopefully it does something to people out there who weren't around for those memories, or maybe had different memories. And I know this is an almost impossible request, but if anybody has tapes from that era, please, please contact me, otw@2600.com, because we are missing a few things, and we'd certainly like to fill in the gaps whenever possible. I'm sure there's somebody out there who taped every single hour of WUSB back in the early days. Well, we want those tapes. We really do. Okay, here's a letter from somebody asking a question about that particular show. Hey, I was just wondering if you could help me find the name of the group who did that song, Let That Liar Alone. You can hear the version you played on the November 28th, 1981 edition of The Voice of Long Island at 184 minutes in. In an earlier show, I think Mike Juhas noted that this song was done by a group called the Harmony Sisters. If this is true, I can find no record of them doing this song. Thanks, Brian, for sending it in. As you probably know by now, I forwarded that to Mike Juhas himself, who I believe is helping you track it down. But it's incredible how something that was pretty popular back then is now almost impossible to find. It's so transient, everything in this world. Yeah. Here's another listener. I'm a regular listener to both Off the Hook and Off the Wall. I enjoyed the show where you played some Scots Gaelic that you recorded off the radio. I think the song that you played was a translation of an American gospel song. I wanted to send you some real Scots Gaelic songs. And this listener, I don't have the name of, I'm sorry. This listener forwarded a link to their podcast where they do Irish language, an Irish language podcast similar to Scots Gaelic. And the show can be found at Spudshow, SPUDSHOW dot Libsyn, LIBSYN dot com. Yeah. And, do we have one more? Yeah, we have time for one more letter, I think. Dear Manny, I've just listened with great joy to Off the Wall of February 16th. I like when people listen with great joy. The first show recorded in Scotland. As an expat Scot who's lived in Australia for 5 years, I can't express how great it was to hear you sampling whiskey and talking about the customs and language of my home country. It's great that you had friends over there to explain things that made great radio. Keep up the great work. There's a lot of greatness going on there. Maybe I'll call on the show when you're back. Well, I am back now. Thanks, Modesky, parentheses, Alec, for sending us that wonderful letter as well. All right. We had some letters about the quest for Starbucks, which we're not doing this week. We're down to 512 possible Starbucks. And, you know, a number of people have asked if we'll put a list of the 512 that's been narrowed down to up online. We're going to try to do that. Maybe by next week we'll have a site that will list all 512 so you can see for yourself if there's a Starbucks near you that might be the first one that I ever go to in my life. And now's the time to put the house up for sale and maybe go someplace else before it's too late. Yeah. Also, another note, we have our second Club Mate Day coming up on Saturday. If you're interested in having the 2600 van come to your home or office, which has to be somewhere in the New York metropolitan area, visit the site clubmate.us. That's spelled clubmate.us. But you got to do it soon because, well, it's happening on Saturday, first day of spring. All right, we're out of time. So I want to thank those people for listening and writing and things like that. And if you want to support the radio station, well, give a call to 631-632-9872, and there are people who are going to take the phone calls. Otherwise, give a call to 631-632-6498. Leave your information there and somebody will get back to you. Hopefully next week we'll be able to take some phone calls. Have a good night. Oh, and our email address, otw@2600.com.